hello and welcome to the Comedians Fantasy Premier League podcast with me, Matt Ford.
And me, John Richardson. This is the podcast where we follow the highs and the lows of the FPL teams of some of the country's funniest people.
Joining us a little later is West Ham fan and manager of Nephews United, it's comedian Laura Smith.
And remember, this podcast now comes to you twice a week. This is your second instalment, so here we are to discuss the game week that never ends, game week 21.
The never-ending game week. Well, it's been a long game week, mainly because of the FA Cup. That's why, and rescheduled games. I've quite liked not having to change my team.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what I liked. Shall I tell you what I liked?
Well, I can imagine what you like.
Yeah, tell me what I like. You
Winning.
Say it. I want to hear you say it.
Beating me. And it all came down to that decision to captain Bowen or Antonio. I captained Antonio midway through this game week. It looked like I was going to win. And then Bowen scoring two against Norwich.
I'd written this game week off absolutely. The way, and I wasn't even bothered. It was when the Everton game got cancelled and I used my free hit to bring in three Everton players. As it turns out, I mean, Pickford, awful, 1 point. Gray, average, 2 points. Calvert-Lewin, back after months out, missed a penalty, 0 points. I had 21 points on the bench because I brought in Wissa from Brentford as well, who scored a wonderful goal. I had Backman as my reserve goalkeeper. You know, I'd just written it off. And it was one of those where I just... Do you know what I did? Do you know what I did, Matthew? I laughed about it. I just thought, oh, what can you bloody do, eh? You use your free hit to bring in players and their second game gets cancelled. What a world. I was driving back last night. I had a long drive again yesterday.
Oh, where from and where to?
Well, I did two drives yesterday, actually. I went to Manchester and then I went to Hull.
Lovely.
Just like to get about, just meet people. Thinking of standing for Parliament at some point. So I just want to get the vibe of where I'm liked the most.
I would love it if you stood for Parliament.
Would you?
It would make me laugh so much.
Would you be my spad?
Well, without being too technical about it, you can only have a special advisor if you're in government. So, but I would happily be at your ad.
Thanks for crushing my ambition straight
advisor.
Away.
I'll be your advisor. You know, maybe one day I'd rise to be your spad if you got yourself to a ministerial position. But
maybe
I'd love you to stand in a by-election, in a really ferocious by-election, because they are horrible. I'd love to see you in the middle of that storm and see how you dealt with getting egged in the street. That's what it involves, basically. Getting hated and egged.
If I'm a vegan and I get egged, can I have them arrested on sort of food grounds?
Hate crime.
Yeah,
that's hate crime.
I think so.
Yeah.
And milkshake as well. I mean, you very rarely see a vegan egging.
The danger is, though, you're now suggesting things by eliminating things you don't want tipped over you. You're then effectively guiding us towards things that we can throw over you.
Well, tofu would just bounce off.
Well,
I mean, but by all means, lob a vegan sausage roll at me. I'll have my mouth open.
But what about hot drinks? That's the danger. So people go, all right, well, if you don't want dairy, we're gonna boil this stuff.
Just
up.
Go with an Americano. It doesn't have that. You want a creamy drink, though, isn't that the thing? They want. Do you want things that get picked up on camera as, you know, visually upsetting? A thick, creamy drink spilling down my suit. And I wouldn't wear a suit. Obviously, I'd be the cardigan king. That'd be my USP.
My God, you'd just want to put me in touch
so with
people. Hard. You're going to lose this safe seat, John. You're going to lose it.
Why am I? I think I'm coming in to upset someone, aren't I? I'm the guy that gets parachuted in. Send in Richardson.
Man, if you stood in a by-election and were swanning round in a cardigan, imagine the local members. You'd be basically the Corbyn of wherever it was.
There's no need for that.
Beardy little vegan cardigan boy.
So anyway, I'd written the game week off. And then, I mean, obviously, last night happened. Last night at time of recording, Jared Bowen, 42 points, which took me to 85. I mean, you've had, given that I used my free hit, you've got to be pleased with 75 points, because it did look for all the while until last night that you were going to take it this week.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, is that obviously I have two objectives. The primary objective, obviously, is to try and beat you every week. And I've done that for the last 3 weeks, and now I've lost one.
16-5.
Yes.
For anyone keeping count, aka
obviously my other priority is to not be down near the bottom. So I'm up to 15th now. I was 28th just a few weeks ago. And I'm now kind of stalking those. I mean, it's not beyond the realms now. I'm 100 points off 10th off Josh Widdicombe's low fat pizza 11. It's not ludicrous to think that in a month's time, I might be hopefully in the top 10. And that would be huge progress.
Yes, you're doing very well. A key game week coming up, another double game week announced next week. And I noticed from looking at your team, obviously mine will reset. Chelsea have two fixtures coming up. Tottenham Hotspurs have two games coming up. You don't have any Spurs players in your team. Reece James injured at the moment. What are your plans?
Well, I think I am going to bring in... I mean, you only need to look at the effect that having those West Ham... Now, obviously, we've got in Bowen and Antonio point monsters.
Well, not this week, because, of course, they will be facing the mighty Leeds United. So you can expect to see them nullified.
But what I mean is, not, yeah, I mean, make your little point, that's fine.
I'm going to be at the game this week. I shall be at West Ham Leeds on Sunday. So let me tell you now, and I don't mind our listeners knowing this, if that comment does come back to bite me on the bottom, feel free to picture me being very quiet.
Oh, we will. Oh, we can imagine you, John. No one listening to this show has any misconception about what you'd be like, sat there with a sour little look on your face as you get pumped and relegated. Anyway, Bowen and Antonio are high-scoring players, and they had double game weeks. So obviously, I mean, I don't think I've ever scored anything like 75 points in a week before, and that's because those West Ham players scored high and played twice. Mm. So it would be mad of me not to try and bring in a player that I think... certainly one that has a double game week that's likely to score high. Son, obviously, is injured and he would have been top of that list. So yes. Who are the Spurs players you bring in?
Well, there's one obvious
reunion. Can I just?
Yes.
Listen to me sounding like I know what I talk about. I think that's the first time I've ever sounded like I know what I talk about on this show. You know what? That was in the lifetime of this show... that was my first pube. I'm a man now. Things are different. I'm really starting to get this game now.
How is the old grey hair situation coming along?
You know what? I actually think they've gone. You know, I did Google it. Grey hair, you know, how quickly does it spread? Does it last forever? What's the cause? Can it be reversed?
Famously, of course, people go grey and then it goes back. What are you talking about?
Well, it can, because if it's stress related.
Oh, you've been very busy. You've been very busy, of course.
Oh,
the toll on your body.
The problem is, you say it with a nod and a wink, and you know that I was going crackers towards the end of last year because I basically only had time to sleep.
And of course, there was the big Ed Miliband Listerine campaign you did.
What's that?
You know, the Listerine guys who were launching a new mouthwash that wasn't exactly different to a lot of mouthwashes that had gone before, but different enough that people might have thought it was appealing. And they wanted someone to do the voice of Ed Miliband to launch it.
I don't know whether you're taking the mick about something specific now. No. Or whether I'm just being slow.
No, the problem is we've set up a running gag where I link a product and a voice you do.
Oh, yes, yes.
Sorry. And I've run out of voices you do. I couldn't work out if I'd already done Ed Miliband or not. I've done Galloway, haven't I? I've done Jim White.
Oh, yes.
Dust Blair.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that's it.
You. Well, I've got some new ones, actually.
Oh, Jamie Carragher's very good.
Oh, thank you. Yes, yes. I was just about to say Jamie Carragher.
Let's do a Jamie Carragher Listerine advert.
I'm not saying, by the way, the Listerine will kill all germs. Because I don't think any I'm not saying any mouthwash can do that. I don't know any manufacturer that could credibly claim that. But what I am saying is it probably will kill 99.9%. You're not going to get pestis than that this year.
Very good.
It was
very
a bit
good
squeaky,
indeed.
That. But you know what? I think I've got that sort of drawing out, that sort of, you know, when he's making a point, I think I've sort of nailed that kind of, I'm not saying, by the way, John. You know, I think I'm onto something there. It's not fully there yet, but it's that thrill when you unlock a new impression that we all feel that buzz, you know?
I think you're probably Carragher and I'm Neville.
Yes.
Is that
it? Oh, yes.
Sort of physically and spiritually.
Okay. Now, the problem is you've made that sound like an insult. So what do you mean?
Well, no, I just mean I physically, I think I look more like Gary Neville, and I think I'm more the kind of, I'm goading you, I'm sort of playing the intellectual, I'm playing the liberal when it suits me, and you're reacting and bouncing around and getting upset.
I would say Carragher is a better looking man, and that's, I would therefore undermine your theory a bit, because I think you are more handsome than me. whereas I think Carragher's better looking than Neville. So how do you feel about that?
Interesting. Well, I disagree on both counts.
You think I'm better looking than you?
Yeah, I think, I've been looking at a lot of pictures of myself this week from my youth, and I am a rat-faced little thing. Very odd-looking beast.
No.
I showed one to Lucy last night, and she just said, why are you that shape?
What?
I had a picture of me in my A-levels, and I just look absolutely insane. I'm wearing a sort of grey suit that I got from a catalogue for £60 that I still have now and still fits me.
Well, that's good. Most people can't fit into the clothes they wore.
Well, put it this way. I'm not the same size as I was when I bought the suit. It's just that the suit when I bought it was the size I am now. So, you know, feel free to imagine that rocking up for its A-level general studies.
Yeah, but you can't...
Skinny little rat-faced beanpole in a fat suit.
You know what so much of this is about is confidence and how you carry yourself.
I had a definite stoop. I'll tell you what I'll do as penance because I haven't, and I don't want you to think I don't think about it all the time. Every day at some point I think, how am I going to get away with running around a supermarket shouting Bielsa is my daddy? It's on my mind. It's plaguing me. And I think far more rewarding than the video itself when I eventually do it should be the knowledge for you and our listeners that it haunts my every waking moment. So I'm thinking about it.
Good.
Penance for not having done it.
Ooh.
What I will do is this: I will send to our producer Danny to put on the Comedians FPL page a picture of me on holiday in Benidorm with my friends when I was about 20, and the stoop of my back is absolutely the way I'm standing, and I'm not deliberately standing to look like an old man. It's a picture of me from behind. I look about 85 years old in this picture, and it reinforces your point that, you know, my posture is not great. Perhaps given that you've got forfeits outstanding, you'd like to share a picture of you in your youth.
Well, what forfeits have I got outstanding?
Oh, mate, pint with a duck.
Okay, well, hang on.
Bag signed picture.
I did go to the park with a can of Holston and get a
photo. Don't you dare. Don't you dare tell me that walking through a park waving an unopened can of Holston at a duck that was miles away constitutes having a pint with a duck.
Just a bit of advice on the forfeit. You've got a 24-hour Sainsbury's nearby. Just go there at like 3 a.m. and do it when it's empty.
Oh, yeah, you say that like it's nothing. It's not the easiest thing in the world for me to leave at 3 o'clock in the morning to scream in a Sainsbury's and then come home. I've got the school run to do in the morning. I've got projects. I've got stuff I'm doing. I've still got Christmas decorations to put away, mate.
What? Why haven't you put them away yet?
I sort of shoved them in a room we don't use so that they're out of sight. Because
I
think
the exact room you mean.
That gets rid of the curse. They're not visible anymore. Mm. And I just, you know, it's never the job I want to do.
You're living in denial and you'll either have a heart attack or a nervous breakdown. You've got to get them away.
I have thought I was going to have a heart attack this week. It's funny you should say that. I've got a slightly fluttery heart.
Have you been consuming more caffeine than usual?
No, I've been consuming less.
Are you on steroids?
No.
Class A drugs?
Yes.
Ah, yeah, that'll be it. Which one?
All of them.
Okay.
I sort of mix them into a paste.
And then what?
Spread it on Ryvita.
Oh, quite a healthy way to do it.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get fibre in as well, because I find when I'm gacked up, I don't
He's gacked up, he's backed up. And now he's snacked up.
Should we have an agreement that we will finish all our... Because I can imagine if I listen to this podcast, and I'm not saying I don't, but I don't. If I listen to this back, I would find it frustrating that there are... forfeits outstanding. Shall we make a pledge to have all of them done by the end of January?
Yes, but
including the Toby Carvery.
Oh yeah. Well, actually, aren't we meeting up early February?
We are meeting up early Feb. Yeah. Should we do
that
one
early
Feb?
Why don't we say by end of first week Feb? Because then I reckon when we meet up, we can do Carvery, Duck, Supermarket, Be Lucky.
Okay, fine.
Just get it all done in one day. What a day that's going to be, by the way.
An absolute forfeit monster week. Who's your point monster for the week?
Well, it's got to be Bowen. You know what's really odd is, end of last week, we talked about the curse, and I said the likelihood is Calvert-Lewin does really well.
Yes.
And Bowen has a shocker, and it was the total opposite. So by cursing them, I cursed myself.
Yes.
The curse basically rebounded off the wall and smashed me in the face.
You actually, I think you even referenced Schmeichel, whose game was cancelled.
Yeah.
Which had dire consequences for our guest last week, Reece James, who scored 34 points in a double game week. That's really bad. It's his third lowest scoring game week since we started this season. So, really no bad.
No Baileys for you, Reece. Sorry,
no.
Mate.
The curse continues. I think the curse is most effective against people called Reece James.
Yeah.
What do you make of Leicester players being seen, masks off, surrounded by drunk people at the darts just before their game is cancelled?
Yeah, there was James Maddison and a couple of others, weren't there?
I have to say, was just pleased to see them at the darts because you don't see enough. I really like the darts, and we've been to the darts, haven't we? At the Lakeside! And I have exciting news for you, Matthew. I don't want to name drop so early in the podcast. Get yeah. ready for a clang.
Okay.
But I was exchanging text messages this week with the caller, Little Richard Ashdown. And he informs me that darts is returning to the Lakeside this year. So perhaps a return visit is in store.
We've got to go.
Last time we were dressed as...
Mexican hombres.
Mexican hombres.
Me, you and your dad, I got us sombreros, ponchos and handlebar moustaches.
Yeah.
We look really cool.
But the Leicester players, they were in a sort of crowded arena, masks off, in a COVID epidemic.
Yes, well, that's what's really interesting, isn't it? That we've talked about this before, is your FPL judgments, really, if you're going to go deep on the intel, it's not just about who's likely to play, dealing with things like Pep Roulette. It's also, are they going to the darts? Are they then more likely to get COVID? What are the implications of that?
Pep Roulette, there's a second pube. He's really becoming quite the big man on campus. But it is just carnage at the moment, because not only... Usually, a double game week you might pick a player who, you know, there's some rotation and they don't play in both the games. To have a double game week where actually one of the games gets cancelled just before, it's ludicrous. And it's a season the likes of which we've never seen before. So, you know, these things are going to happen. Had I lost this week, would have just thrown my hands up. You haven't lost. And I will put out this call to listeners now. If you want to suggest what sort of dance you'd like Matt to do or what tune you'd like him to do that to, I will be accepting those suggestions. Hello at... Oh, box. Is it hello at CPFPL? Hello at CPFPL.com, or you can find us on Twitter at ComediansFPL.
Was that
really stretch your legs? Yeah, you've got to do a dance to a tune I pick and upload it on the internet.
I thought it was write a song.
Let's really zero in on this emotion. How are you feeling now?
Uncomfortable.
Yes.
It's just a nightmare. Obviously, what I've done is clear quite a lot of the backlog of my forfeits. It was like paying off a credit card debt. Obviously, I've still got a couple outstanding, but I'd really broken the back of it. And now it's just like, yes. Another one on the pile. I'd quite enjoyed having a few weeks off having to do forfeits.
Now, what do you make of this? Fantasy Bundesliga, which I think is something we'll be doing at some point. Like, you know, when a sitcom jumps the shark and they do a holiday episode. Series 3 of Meet the Richardsons coming soon, by the way. Fantasy Bundesliga have a situation where when games get cancelled, they award average season points to those players who would have featured in that game. What do you make of that? Because if that had happened this week, I would have got 6 for Dominic Calvert-Lewin, I would have got 4 for Damari Gray, and I would have got 3 for Jordan Pickford. And that's that tweet comes from Karam Taser, so thank you for that.
I think it's ludicrous. It undermines the whole point. This isn't a pools panel. And Dominic, it shows you, that fully exposes how silly it is, because Dominic Calvert-Lewin scored 0. So the whole point of FPL surely is that it rewards
people. He scored 0, not in the game that was cancelled, though.
You can't be doing it on average. There has to be an element where it's just rooted in truth. And obviously, if games get cancelled, they do get rescheduled. So then you do get the points later in the season if you stick with those players. That undermines the whole point of it. That's like saying, oh, well, I'll tell you what, at the start of the season then, I'll tell you what, follow the logic of Fantasy Bundesliga and let's all just pick a team on the first day of the season and they tell you what points they'd have got at the end and let's not bother. This goes against the very principle of FPL.
I've missed this version of you where you've lost and you're angry.
Well, I am a bit. Of course I'm angry, because I felt like I was on a run. I really felt like I was getting somewhere. I still feel like I'm getting somewhere. That is an average solution for average people, and we should strive to be better.
That
Get me in that by-election now. I'm a dog of war.
I would have get rid of the let me be better. I would have just kept that. Would have been my version of the Gordon Brown, you know, a serious man for serious times. Given how awful things have been, let's just settle for average. I'm an average man and I want to represent the average man in the street.
You're going to lose that by-election. You're going to get humped in that by-election. Well, the average man of the street obviously loves his food. So it's time for this week's Mo Salad Cream. So are you ready for this week's food fact?
I thought this had gone. I thought Mo Salad Cream had gone off in the fridge. Is it AFCON inspired, given that he's gone to the African Cup of Nations? Will we be dealing with African condiments this week?
Well, see what you think. You ready?
No, I'll take that as a no.
Big news in the food world. Müller Yogurt and Desserts has strengthened its leadership team with the appointment of Toby Bevans as Strategy and Marketing Director. Bevans joined the dairy manufacturer from coffee firm Jacobs Dow Egberts, where he spent almost 7 years across leadership roles, most recently serving as Marketing Director for UK and Ireland. Prior to his time with JDE, Bevans enjoyed a successful career at Kraft Foods and Mondelez,
where he worked
in stable of brands across the coffee, confectionery, biscuits and cheese categories.
Giving
you world food news from the world of food news. Food news from the world of food news.
But why are you just reading a press release about someone I don't care about taking a job that is of no importance to me?
Toby Bevans is now Strategy and Marketing Director at Müller Yogurt and Desserts.
Who's Toby Bevans?
He's the new Strategy and Marketing Director at Müller Yogurt and Desserts.
But Müller is not a condiment. A yogurt is not. No one's putting yogurt on the side of their roast dinner, you turd.
I bet some people. I bet there's people out there that put yogurt on savoury food. No question. Get in touch. Hello at cpfpl.com.
No. There are people who want to have their name read out on a podcast or lie about it. Nobody in the history of civilization has put yogurt on a Sunday dinner. What is happening here? What is the relevance of any of this? Is this a pullback and reveal? Is there something coming? Because if there isn't, you would have braced yourself, mate. Because you're in for it. This is the last Mo Salad Cream. If this is what this is, you are done.
This is proper industry chat. I'm getting you big news. This isn't just, this one's got sugar in it, or they like this in that country. This is genuine intel from deep inside the UK hospitality industry.
You've got nothing more on this. Your feature, let me be clear about this. Your feature for our podcast, our comedy and FPL podcast, is to read a press release from Müller about getting some guy who used to work at a coffee company. That's what you're doing now, is it?
Not just that. Bevan's appointment followed the departure of Michael Impong at the end of 2021, who'd previously held the role of Strategy and Marketing Director for the past 9 years. Commenting on Impong's decision to leave the role, Cook said, "We are grateful to Michael for his hard work, energy and commitment. We wish him all the best for the next chapter of his career." So it's not just about someone coming in, it's about someone leaving. You know, this is, in a way, it's a transfer, isn't it? It's a free hit in the world of Müller.
You're implying there's a January transfer window in the condiment world, that January's a big time for movers and shakers. You've let our listeners down.
I don't understand how that's letting people down. I think that's really good news.
What value is there in the time you have taken from these people's lives? I mean, literally, even Bevans himself found that boring.
Can you not find it within yourself to just congratulate Toby Bevans on his new role of strategy?
You don't even know his name.
Toby Bevans.
It feels like a trick. I'm looking at Toby Bevans now. He does look like a footballer.
He does.
He looks like a sort of retired Scandinavian midfield general. Still very much respected in Iceland.
So you're warming to him now.
No, I don't. This is, and let me, I can't say this clearly enough. This is so bad and so boring. It feels like a trick. You know, like when you're watching a whodunit and for no reason at all, there's a scene where somebody like drops a packet of biscuits and cries. And you think, well, why was that in there? Oh, that's obviously going to come back again later. This is such a bad feature that I think there's more to it. And it's a trick and it's going to turn out that Toby Bevans is my brother. So what is going on? Or are you just terrible? Had you had some sort of pun on Toby Bevans' name or some sort of yogurt ejaculate joke to make there, then I could have seen where you were going.
But okay,
it's too late now. I'm not here to coach
that.
You.
Toby
it's
Bevans,
not a workshop.
Toby Bevans has warned staff he may sling his yogurt around.
Maybe a football gag. Maybe, you know, he's thinking about bringing in...
Taking a Müller corner.
Exactly. There we go. King in the transfer window to bring in a Greek yogurt.
Yes. What?
You know, these are all things you could have done to entertain our listeners.
I just did. just did, mate.
I don't want to imply that coming up with features is easy. You know, I think some of our listeners have got the impression that you simply come up with a pun on a footballer's name and that's a feature. And I think that's dangerous. But we have had some suggestions in from listeners who've done exactly that.
Okay.
And Lucas has tweeted in, Lucas versus Zombies. I have a title for a new feature, but no idea what the concept could be. Lukaku's line is it anyway? As a student of improv himself, it must be disappointing for Matt Ford to have not come up with this himself. I like it.
Yeah, I do.
I think it's got legs.
So just remind me, whose line is it anyway? That was Greg Proops and others.
Richard Ranch on the piano and me, Clive Anderson, saying goodnight. Goodnight.
Oh, nice. Very good.
Seminal 90s comedy.
And it's just an improv show, is it? You go, oh, you're
yeah, a... I think, Matthew, I'm just going to have to whisper this to you so the listeners don't hear. I don't think it was improv. I think they got some of the information beforehand.
Oh, well, I mean, without wanting to... Yeah, pull back the curtain too much. I think a lot of improv involves actually not improving at all.
Yeah, and I think for those of us who do genuine improv, like street improv, I think it's quite upsetting. You know, when you're out there improving 24/7 and you see a sort of polished version of it on telly, you know, it's hard, isn't it?
Well, it sets unrealistic standards.
What game I did think might work for us is, do you remember the Who's Arriving at the Party game? Where one of them is hosting a party and the others have to arrive in character and that person has to guess who it is. I thought perhaps we could have footballers arriving
great
at the party.
Great idea. Great
and
idea.
One of us has to guess who the footballer is.
That is a great idea. So which way around are we going to do it next week? Because that's really fun. Oh, I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, sometimes when you get genuinely excited, you're so childlike. It makes me really feel sorry for all the horrible things I say about you.
So
really fun.
Yeah. Can I go first? Can I be the footballer?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So is that for next week?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm right.
So, and should we, I don't want to sort of put words in the listeners' mouths. Should we do that instead of Mo Salad Cream? Just feels like that's run its course.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. Okay. Now, got some other news in the world of football, and I've only just seen this before we started recording. A lot of focus on Emmanuel Dennis, who I have in my team, a Watford striker.
Double game week coming up for Watford this week.
Did you know he almost became a priest?
I did not know that.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Touch of the cloth.
Well, yes. So he, according to the BBC, having attended church from a young age with his parents, he dreamed of becoming a priest, but those impressed by his football ability persuaded him and his family he should pursue a sporting career. Now, obviously, we've talked about this before. I was an altar boy. So in a way, I guess if you're an altar boy, that's like academy level for the priesthood, isn't it? I was basically a kind of under-11s protege.
Yeah.
In the cloth world.
Yeah, you were sort of big name, I guess. You were being tipped for success in the church. Before you were like, scouted, not by the scouts.
No. You know, you get like those blokes in pubs who are like, oh, I had trials of Arsenal. I'm like that. Yeah, trials of the Church of England, but you know what I mean? Didn't work out. My knees went.
Yeah.
Those guys could have made it. I could have been a vicar, mate. Easy. Whoa. Should have seen me on the altar back in the day.
Why do you think it didn't work out for you?
I have a lot of respect for organised religion. I ended up losing my faith, John, in all honesty, and drifted away from the church. Even though I really respect it, I love churches. I love the smell of a church. Great place, great music, great atmosphere. A lot of respect for it. In the end, it just wasn't for me. But I like it when you have to go and you think, oh, there's something here. You know, they're very well designed. I do love the smell. If there's something about the cold stone, the warm wood of the pew and the incense and together, and then just that hint of altar wine. It's a great smell, isn't it? In fact, why don't they make Yankee Candle and other manufacturers? Listen to this. Make old church-centered items. An old church-smelling candle would be great, wouldn't it? I think there'd be a huge market for that.
I'm less certain, but I think there's probably something in it. What about a TV show then where you and Emmanuel Dennis do a sort of, talk about the positive aspects from a sort of a non-religious point of view of religion? You could perhaps call it Dennis the Minister. Yes. improv. So we need to discuss a forfeit for, there will be obviously two shows, so we'll catch up with you again sort of betwixt the games next week for a little update. But should we set a forfeit now for next week?
Yeah, I think it should be. I mean, should it be religion related? Should one of us convert? Should one of us become a priest? Renounce all worldly possessions?
I don't think they'd have me. I also enjoyed this week, Lincoln, Chris Maguire scored a hat-trick for Lincoln against his former boss. And I've got to say, if anyone listening is ever tempted to tweet me a picture of Lee Johnson and say, when did you start managing Sunderland? I've got lots of those. So don't worry about that. I know I look like Lee Johnson, who is famous for being a small man on the touchline. So cheers for those. You can keep those now. I've got lots.
I did enjoy
Chris Maguire sprinting the length of the pitch to celebrate his hat-trick in Lee Johnson's face after Lee Johnson let him go. So one possible forfeit, I thought, is wherever the other person is in the country, you have to, the minute the final game ends, you have to travel to them and scream in their face when you win the game week and then just go home again. But it's more of a punishment, really.
I've got another idea. How about the loser has to try and get an interview with Toby Bevans, the strategy and marketing director for Muller Yogurt and Dessert.
I'll give it a go. Or some sort of contact with Toby Bevans.
Yeah, try and get an email response from him.
I mean, we had agreed on the song, thanks to FPL Pig, who is another Twitter FPL account who does songs of the game week. So we'll roll that one forward. We will do that one at some point. But yeah, okay. So this week's forfeit is the loser has to get some sort of contact from Toby Bevans, who is, what's his current job title?
He is the new strategy and marketing director for Muller Yogurt and Desserts. Now. Talking about footballers with sidelines, Newcastle star Alan St. Maximum has launched his own board game. I mean, I don't think any footballer's ever done this before. Can you guess what his board game is about?
Yes, I can, because I've heard this story. It is about Greek mythology.
It is. It's called Helios, which kind of sounds, I don't know, it sounds scary. You know what it feels like to me? Jumanji. I worry that I would play it and there's some... I mean, we talk about the curse on this show. If there's any game, it looks quite formidable. This doesn't look like Monopoly. This looks high-end. It looks like the start of, you know, the game with Michael Douglas, that you're going to get sucked into some sort of world. And it involves... It seems to involve dice, poker chips, but it's all about Greek gods and involves Athena and others. I mean, fair play to him. The branding of it looks great. But on the video... He says, my goal is trying to offer people different sensations.
Wow. That's going to end in tears. That's like us coming up with sort of features eventually. It's just going to get awful. And he's at the moment, he's like, well, I'm a footballer. It'd be weird if I did a board game. And then in about a year, he's just going to be frantically trying to think of a different sensation. Do you touch a board game? So now I need to release something that you have to lick. People just saying, look, just focus on the football, mate. Alan, please, just, you know, you're such a good footballer. I think you're sort of really sidetracking yourself trying to titillate every sensation for a football fan. And sometimes it's okay just to be a really good footballer.
He played this with some local Newcastle fans to launch it. Third and fourth place picked up a bit of money. The second place, a year 12 student at a local school, won a grand and said, I pulled a sickie when the invite came through. I had a doctor's appointment, in inverted commas, but it was definitely worth it coming away with a grand. The winner, a girl in her late teens, scooped $3,000 and a designer necklace and a Louis Vuitton bag.
Oh, well, now, I'd sod all this now.
What?
Well, now this is sinister. Well, it's like gambling. Why is it? Why can't it just be the simple pleasure of a mythology-based board game? Why has there got to be handbags and $3,000 knocking about? It's absolute... Are you going to have these kids absolutely going bankrupt at the age of 17 because they've got, I played me bloody Aphrodite card. I didn't know he had bloody Apollo, so that's it. Now I had to give him me car. There shouldn't be this much money knocking around in board games. Let me tell you, the Christmas of 2007, you know, I'd have been a boggle bankruptcy. if it had been up to my sister. So you can't bring this sort of money into board games. It's not welcome.
Now, speaking of family, let's see how one Lucy Beaumont got on while she picked her FPL team for the upcoming game week. So I'm joined now by the manager of the new FPL team, Titty Titty Bang Bang, Lucy Beaumont.
Hiya.
Now, you've put yourself down first as a Brentford fan. Why is that?
I like Brentford.
Why?
Is it in Essex?
Nope. So you've picked a team. What sort of process did you go through when picking the team?
Well, I asked God in my head to tell me numbers. So if he told me like number two, I'd look down the row two. And if he said like 2-2, I'd know to scroll like two pages ahead and then like go two down. I did that. But if sometimes there was no voice in my head, I just picked on like a name that I thought sounded nice.
So annoyingly, you've picked quite a good team.
God has helped me with this.
Yeah, so these are players that you're saying are endorsed by God.
Yeah.
So we have
I am just a conduit for God to play fantasy football with you.
So do you think it's fraudulent if you do win this week to take the prize, given that God has put your team, do you think the gift should go to God?
Everything goes to God eventually, doesn't it?
So God is playing for a Vinnie van der Veet hand puppet. And aren't we all puppets of God, really?
Yeah.
You've got Sainet, which is it's a good choice.
You've got who?
Sa in net. You've got a back four, Rudiger.
Is it called Sarinet, or are you saying you've got Sa in net?
Yeah. You've got a really good back four. You've got Rudiger, Telles, Reguilón and Tierney. Mm-hmm. Three of those back four are playing twice this week, so you'll get double points for those, Reguilón, Telles and Rudiger. You've got Saka, Tielemans, Greenwood and Rashford again.
What's funny, I didn't even notice I put Rashford, but again, it's not me, is it? It's
God's picked Rashford. Do you think because of his work feeding hungry kids?
He's angelic. He's got an aura around him. I've seen it.
Mm. And what do you make of Rudiger, who's quite a naughty boy?
Why is he naughty?
Well, he pushes people and he cheated against Leeds. You've got Saka there, of course, one of England's heroes of the Euros.
Is he?
Yeah, and up front you've got Adams and Jimenez.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, your bench, you've got Ramsdale, Robertson, Pedence and Odson Edward, who I brought into my team. He's done very well at Palace. They're all playing once. Is that why you've put them on the bench?
I didn't know I put them on the bench.
Okay, well, good luck. And let me have to tell you this. It's a really good team. And if you win this week, given that I watched you pick that team in about 47 seconds and you don't know who you've got or who they're playing, I'm going to be absolutely mortified.
Thank you.
Now it's time to interview our guest this week. It's been a big game week for West Ham. So what better week to be joined by a West Ham fan? And our guest this week is the fantastic comedian Laura Smith. Thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Why is your team called Nephews United?
Because I am a kind of football fan in the way all West Ham fans are fans, in the sense that it's like more like a personality trait. But when I came to doing this, I realised I was absolutely clueless. So a family group chat was created with three of my nephews to say, so maybe some boys could help me. And they haven't, because I'm wallowing at the very bottom of the table. That's why it's called Nephews United. And they've let you down badly.
You've had a great game week. You captained Antonio. You've got Benrahma in there. I mean, your West Ham players have done very well. Soufal got you 12 points. So being a West Ham
Soufal?
Fan... Maybe it's... but this could be a new feature, Soufal or Koufal. Get in touch, hello at cpfpl.com, or is it hello at keepyfpl.com? But your West Ham players have done very well for you, Laura.
Well, this is it. This is the thing. I didn't know I couldn't just pick a West Ham team. I didn't know I was limited to three. And I just... oh, Antonio. And no, exactly. So I know that's all good. And everyone else. I mean, I didn't know I was picking... I've got Schmeichel in there. I didn't know it was his son. I mean, that's how... I would have just had a West Ham team. So that's where I'm at with it. And I think I should have you know, transferred Mo Salah, everyone saying I should have done that, and Ronaldo and all that. But I just sort of thought, no, I'm just going to let it lie. I've made my choices and I'm not doing any transfers or changes. But yeah, a good week, but I'm still wallowing at, you know, if I'm near Rob Beckett and Sean Walsh, it's bad times, I think.
Yeah, you are. You're, there's no easy way of saying it. You're fourth bottom. And you've got, interestingly, you've got Leeds players in your team as well. And it's West Ham Leeds this weekend.
Yeah, we beat them in the cup, didn't we, on Sunday? That was good.
Yeah, have your cup. Enjoy it, mate. Have your cup. Have European football as well while you're at it.
Yeah, enjoy it.
Just be nice to be able to field a team, wouldn't it? What I would ask, just please don't hurt any of our boys this weekend because we haven't got many left. I shouldn't say this as a Leeds fan. I expect you to win. I don't mind if you win. Just don't hurt any of us.
We're not dirty, though. West Ham aren't dirty. We're so honourable and brilliant. We wouldn't hurt you.
Yes.
We've had, well, we would do going great guns. We had a little bit of injury, and I do blame that on being in Europe and the cup. So I don't mind, I wouldn't mind leaving the cup. I think we've got Kidderminster next, but we won't hurt you. But I'm a fan of Leeds as well. I've got a soft spot for Leeds.
Why?
Well, I studied at Leeds. I think it's one of the best places to go. My mum's from Huddersfield. She's from West Yorkshire. So. Lovely. So there's love for Leeds. There are just some places I have soft spots for.
Did your mum got a Yorkshire
accent?
No. Then?
She came down here when she was really young, actually. So she hasn't.
That's what they do, you see. It's to try and get all of us, don't you, London lot. Pull all the northerners down.
My husband's from Yorkshire, and actually I like it. He's losing his accent because he hangs around me so much. And he just sort of says things, come out. And I'm like, oh, what was that? So I'm kind of trying to send him back up north to just re-up on his accent. But
I think you're a secret Leeds fan. I think there's a family link. You've clearly married into Yorkshire.
I am.
Would you ever move out of London and move to Yorkshire?
I would, because like if I go up there, he's from North Yorkshire actually, which is all stunning. And when I go up there, I'm like a dog with a, you know, tongue hanging out, like out the window, like, oh my God, it's so beautiful, I'll get it. And then but I think he wouldn't go back because he's a very bright red-headed man, and he's like, you know, in London, you know, it's like you're a little bit, everyone's a little bit more cosmopolitan and forgiving. Up there, you know, he still gets milkshakes thrown at him out of white vans, so being ginger. So I think there's a sort of, I think he likes the progressiveness of London, but I like the 200 grand houses of Yorkshire. So
do you want to call out any of these nephews? Because somebody made the decision to triple captain Antonio in game week 8 and you got 3 points. That was a bad call. Was that yours or was that a specific nephew?
No, that was me. They're quite an age range and they all got really, I don't know, there's this thing that I think men do where then the conversation starts being between them. You know, football can be one of them and they all of a sudden can't hear female voices. Do you know what I mean? So I think they all just got involved and it became a competition between them and then I just didn't know what they were talking about. So there might have been a bit of disengagement. Yeah, so Charlie Taylor, the naughtiest at the eldest, he's let me down. Kelsey's let me down. And my nephew, John, who is just...
This is lovely.
Calling him out.
So and I've how...
It's the first time we've really had a bit of family beef because we've had people who are in leagues with their family who've sort of slagged off their family by a way saying, oh, I wish I could beat my brother. But it's really nice to get down to the nitty gritty of these blood relatives have failed me. They've let me down.
I faked COVID over Christmas so I wouldn't have to face my sisters and their horrible offspring. Taking it, you know?
And it sounds worse than that. It sounds like these young men are basically chauvinist pigs.
Are they all? Yeah. Like, oh yeah, my family. We raise them proper in my family. They don't make a cup of tea.
So, is there anyone in our league that you have a rivalry with? Is there anyone that you would like to definitely finish above?
Well, just basically Sean Walsh, really.
It's not too hard,
but it's almost like, you know, like, oh, good, we've got an Omega Wolf in here. Do you know what I mean? I can't be shitting him. Because I'm really competitive and I come in with really, really, really high hopes. Like I thought, oh, I'm going to smash this. I'm not an idiot. Do you know what I mean? And I've got my nephews on side. I'm West Ham till I die. We're brilliant. This is all fine. Schmeichel, Bosch. Do you know what I mean? I thought it was all going to go well. And then I just kept being right at the bottom. And there was a little part of me that's like, I'm going to be better than, oh, look, there's women in there. I'm going to be better than, well, Alexander Haddo's in here. And I'm thinking, oh, I'll beat another female comedian. Then I thought, no, I'm just shit. I'm just rubbish. and then and so it became like, oh, good for the rubbish people. I just want to beat them.
But that's why we ask the, you know, who would you like to beat in the league? Because that's a really a subtle way of asking a comedian, who do you hate and whose success do you think is unjustified in their career? Oh, no. It's not really about FPL.
No, of course not. Well, and do you know what? It's I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't open that floodgate. Because I genuinely adore him, and then so I can say him safely and go there's no one else in the league. I'm new enough to comedy to, you know, I've got that just glad to be involved sort of face on, you know, just glad to be here in the green room kind of enthusiasm still. So that's all good. It's a great profession, isn't it? You guys, you love it? Surely you love it. Say you love it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the best. Good fun, and you're at that point now, that those days when you first pay bills by telling jokes seems absolutely insane. Yeah. You never get over like thinking, I just paid a gas bill because I drove to Stoke and made people laugh.
Yeah. And, you know, just that sense of autonomy and just freedom. It's taken me a while to realise, oh, I can just do this. You know, it's taken me a while to bring those gears, wind those gears down and realise, you know, that I can just enjoy it all. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you've done it as well at a time when it's been particularly grim for the last two years for certainly newer acts, for the sort of bloated corpses like me floating around who were already on telly and nobody knew could get any gigs, so they just kept the same people on telly. But to have been able to do that in the last couple of years when there hasn't been that ladder of gigs and impress these certain people and then get on that hasn't been around, so you've done it exceptionally well, and I'm really glad we've got on this positive, because it's really allowed me to sort of take the pressure off quite how bad your FPL team's been doing. It's been lovely to have a good positive chat. Sorry.
But you know, sometimes you've just got to admit, you know, you can't, like, you just got to admit, like, that is not where I shine. I started a local comedy night because I thought, oh, that would be good, you know, just, I thought I'll do that local comedy night. I cannot tell you how awful I was at it. Sometimes you've just got to go, I am shit at that, and just be at peace with it. You know, like, every week a couple of comedians would turn up that I forgot to add to the lineup because I forgot. So then people cancel and I didn't have the gumption to replace them. So sometimes I'd have like six acts and then I'd have like 14. Do you know what I mean?
Because as well, what running a gig will teach you is that most comedians are feckless, useless individuals, and it makes you hate your colleague. You've got to guide them to the venue. You've got to be like Google Maps. You've got to run their diary for them, all just for one gig. So yeah, I ran a gig for a bit and didn't like it. And I think, Matt, you did the same.
Oh God, I ran one with Paul McCaffrey in Leicester Square and I just ended up doing all the work. It was a nightmare. He'd always turn up late with like a slice of that Pizza Hut that's on Leicester Square. All right, mate, what time are we starting? I'm like, an hour late, thanks, Jim. I've been out here for 3 hours in Leicester Square trying to not get mugged. And I found two Japanese tourists. What have you done? But he's a lovely fellow, friend of the show. But good God, I did all the work on that.
What can we offer you? If you win this week, we always offer a prize.
What about like a sort of diary to write the bookings in?
No, I'm not doing that anymore. I can't do it. We've established I'm rubbish at running comedy nights and I'm rubbish at fantasy football. That's the two takeaways from this.
So you're good at comedy. What else do you like to do?
What's your favourite drink?
Oh, yeah. Well, you've got like Malbec now. That's the rules, isn't it? You've got like Malbec and gin.
Ooh, nice bottle of red. Yeah, that's so classy. I think we should get you a lovely bottle
of
Malbec.
Please, I love a bottle of Malbec.
That is true. What happened with Malbec?
I don't know. There's some things that just think, where did that come from? Like avocados, where did they come from? Eyebrows. Why is that a thing now?
What's the eyebrows
thing? Women... All of a sudden, they're a thing that you've got to think about. I've never thought about that.
Your partner must dye their eyebrows. Have you never had that moment where you catch them coming out of the bathroom and they've got like, Lucy has like glow-in-the-dark green eyebrows for about 2 hours randomly on a Tuesday night. And then I have to be very careful the next day to tell her that she's got it just right, because the next day she's riddled with insecurity that she's got her eyebrows wrong. And I have to make it very clear that she's got the tone and depth and texture of her eyebrows absolutely perfect.
I dyed mine the week before my wedding and I looked like, was the Shapiro who John Travolta played in the OJ case? That's who I looked like before my wedding. That's literally in my wedding photos. I think that's why I'm anti-eyebrows. So yeah, make sure you reassure about that.
Some Malbec and some fake eyebrows.
Yes! Yeah. Oh yeah, that'd be perfect.
And I can't wish you well this week because basically, if you have a good FPL week, that will mean that West Ham have comfortably beaten Leeds United. So I'm very grateful that you've joined us, and thank you.
Yeah.
But equally, I hope, obviously, that West Ham suffer the sort of defeat, really, that you never get over.
No. I want to beat Leeds, and we just have to stay above Spurs. That's winning the league, isn't it? Beating Spurs in the league or in matches, that is it. That's all we want to do at West Ham. That's it.
It's doable. Good luck.
Thanks.
Check out, it's that Laura Smith, Smith with a Y.
Right, now it's time for Hit the Post.
This time is Hit the Post.
Hey, I'm Vinny van der Veen, and I'm here to read your post and your tweet.
Hello, Vinny.
Hey, my friend, how you doing?
Yes, I'm okay. How are you?
You know what? I'm feeling light as a feather, man, because I'm turning over new leaves, and I'm feeling pretty healthy, being very mentally sharp.
Okay, good. I imagine you were feeling lighter, though, before Matt's fist went up your rectum.
You know, you make this joke a lot, and I think periodically I can be laughing at the jokes that you're making because everyone knows that's how puppets work. After a while, John, I gotta tell you, it's repetitive and puerile.
Okay, so Vinny van der Veen is telling me what becomes repetitive and is less and less funny.
You got it. Okay,
baby.
We got an email here from James. And he's talking about things you missed at a sporting event. You may remember we were talking about this last week, the Chelsea fan who missed the amazing goal, my friend Sam who missed that the knockout punch. Here we go. Hey, guys. Mine wasn't a sporting event, but I went to watch John live at Preston. And he was on about Twitter and brought up he'd seen my Twitter comment and looked at my artwork. He very kindly did a few minutes about my artwork. Unfortunately, I'd had a few beers and broken the shield. So I was in the toilet for the whole thing, but I could hear my name on the way back to my seat. Love the podcast, guys. Cheers, James.
Well, thanks for coming to see me live, James. I appreciate it. Maybe we can reunite on my next tour, Nitwit. Tickets available now online.
But do you remember this? Do you remember the Preston gig?
I do a thing where I go through the Twitter accounts of some of the people in the audience before my shows, and I talk about them in the gig. And I don't remember him not being there, I have to say. You know, if he tweets me again, I'll have a look again and I'll slag him off the next time I come to Preston. Unless cool. I was nice about his artwork, but I can't believe I would have done that. But you know, the missing thing I remembered that Matt and I have missed something together.
What was this? He's never told me about this.
Yeah, well, let me fill you in now, Vinny. Well, I know Matt's already done that.
Okay, that was good, that one.
Yeah, that's
that was your funny one.
Different way of it. Matt and I went to New York a few years back, and in our quest to keep experiencing different American sports, to find one that isn't tedious and crap, we went to watch ice hockey at Madison Square Gardens.
Yeah.
And sat through about 4 hours of really boring play where you can't see the puck and they stop every 30 seconds to sweep the ice, which, you know, as a fastidious man is fun the first time, but gross tedious. We left early and then Googled to find out that we'd missed one of the most exciting penalty shootouts in ice hockey history. You remember that?
You know what? Hang on. hang on. I just Matt, do you remember this? Cheers, honey. You know what? I actually forgot that final detail. I remember us leaving early. We'd been there for ages. I mean,
it was literally about 4 hours.
And they played about 40 minutes because it's constant stoppages and vets teams and, you know, those T-shirt cannons and stuff. I'd forgotten that final detail that it actually ended up being really exciting.
Well, yes, because one of the reasons we left early was because not only did we decide to go back to the hotel, we decided to check out and get a hotel at the airport because it was
Hurricane Hercules.
Yeah, there was a great weather event, wasn't there? Arctic Bomb or something they called
Hurricane
it.
Hurricane Hercules.
We were going to get stranded in New York City.
Hurricane Hercules.
I think it was called Hurricane Hercules.
That's right.
That's just come to me now. So, yeah, not only did we leave, we left to go to the airport and stay in basically an American equivalent of a travel lodge. And then, yeah, we decided we should check what the score was while we were sat at the bar and found out it had finished like 38-37 and that the penalties had only just finished.
A pair of losers.
Yeah.
But it was. I mean, when you're used to British sport, which is you turn up, the game happens, and that's it. And
also, nothing happens.
Don't tell me when to chant. Let's go, Rangers. Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Sod off.
I do remember this, though. They gave us a free calendar. Do you remember that?
They got a free calendar, yeah.
Oh, bloody hell. They give away free merch.
Everything other than the sport is fantastic. Mm. The sport itself is exclusively tedious. And I've never trusted people who get into NFL. Putting that out there now.
I think it's often for people who aren't into British sports as well, isn't it?
Yes, but people who aren't into British sports as a gesture. They've sort of decided not to be into British sport. Oh, do you like football, do you? Oh, okay. Yeah, well, personally, I'm into NFL because it's like that, but you don't get like the thuggery and the violence.
Yeah, you also don't get relegation. This isn't sport. This is some macabre theatre that you're all conspiring to pretend is competitive when, you know, the trap door at the bottom of the league that makes it thrilling.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing. The whole emphasis is just on success and who wins rather than the risk of failure at the bottom end. And that's just
and
not
it's like
what
a secret about. Club because they've got to stay up till 2 a.m. to watch it. Well, do you know what I watch at 2:00 a.m? Old Bullseye. So who's winning?
We should try what and get a new sporting culture around Old Bullseye.
I love Old Bullseyes because there's mad bits that turn up. I mean, it's just generally Bowen's touch with the guests is wonderful. He sort of welcomes them, he lets them tell the story, and then he'll slag them off for being boring in a very subtle way. They're all excited to be on telly, which people aren't anymore because everyone's on telly all the time. So you don't see that sort of nervous energy of people being on telly anymore. Fiercely intellectual, working class people who know everything, who follow the news, that you don't get anymore. Working class quizzes now are generally, you either got like Only Connect or University Challenge or, you know, what's the difference between a spoon and a fork? Well, one's pointy. Right, that's £10. Bullseye, very intelligent questions about literature and international politics. And then every now and again, one week I was watching it, half pissed in a hotel, Gary Wilmot was the celebrity darts thrower.
Oh, my God.
And out of nowhere, Gary Wilmot turns up, does a little dance, and then throws some darts. I thought someone had slipped something into my port and brandy.
Well, are you part of this secret society that John's part of? Are you part of the Old Bullseye elite? Are you an OBE? Email us hello@cpfpl.com and let's try and start to counteract the creeping influence of American sports on our late night television schedules. Let's support, as John says, Bullseye and etc. So if you would like an OBE and be part of the Old Bullseye elite, let us know at hello@cpfpl.com.
A good week for Bowen's, Jared, and Jim.
Oh, it all makes sense in the end. It all ties together, you see. You might think that sometimes we're just spouting nonsense, but there's a narrative arc. Yeah. What a satisfying... Oh, this is like the end of A Grand Don't Come For Free by the Streets. You go, oh my God, they tied it all together.
It's not all improv.
What, John?
Oh, he's back. Yeah.
It's you know, always a pleasure talking to you, but I'm just going to go back into the corner where I live. And just gonna lie down for a bit, maybe stare at the ceilings and think about my family that I miss very much, but try not to cry about it.
Yeah, and we are definitely going to Cornwall later this year. So again, if you want in on that, then just let me know. I'd love to fulfill the dream that Matt wasn't able to fulfill for you.
Oh, man. You know what? Instead of trying to stifle my tears into my throat for the family that I miss, now I'm going to dream lovely technicolor dreams about being in Cornwall with you, John, and all the wonderful fun we're going to have together.
Goodbye, Vinny.
I love you too, man.
Goodbye, Vinny.
See you, Vinny.
Oh, that's it from Vinny. And indeed, that's it from the Comedians Playing FPL podcast. That's all we've got time for this week. Next podcast will be out on Tuesday, the 18th of January, after game week 22, where we'll be joined by comedian Crystal Palace fan and manager of the Pets Shop Boys, Chloe Pets.
Don't forget to get in touch and let us know what you've missed, not just at major sporting events, but in life. Plus, forfeit ideas, news stories, questions, thoughts, feelings, emotions, worries, whatever you want.
Dances you'd like 4D to do.
Less of that. Tweet us at ComediansFPL. Email us hello@cpfpl.com. Find us on Instagram, ComediansPlayingFPL, and on Facebook at ComediansFPL. Share it, subscribe, and leave us a review, and we'll see you next week. Bye!
Bye.